Boker Tov, good morning. Erev Shabbat Shalom. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel, daf 93. Today's class will be for the refuah. Shalom al chalim. Ubichlalam chimda. Beracham b'chadim zan. El mechanu kam rifah sara. Manu mishol ha-mesaran. David melechan yifah. Manu ha-rifka b'lecha 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 שלום אומר אסר פעמים אדם בשביל מלחנה יפה בן מרים יבדה מריפה חי אסר פתן מריחה בחנה סמחת בהם מלכה מרים בת אחי בן מרים חנה לאן אבן נורם לך סבר תמה סבר חנה גבר גדו בה ברכה דן מנסה מתחם מליח מדבר מלכה יש לה מרמת מרים מנפה יוסף בן ענה אני אמדם סבן יפה קווי של מלחמה כמסער ושם סימן חנה מרים מלכה אני אמדם סבר בשביל שנה שם מן האומי עבדי למשמע דבין בן אליהו מן ימין ומצחן דינה בית פרם של משער רינם בקבדן בועז בן רבם דינה בית אהרון תמר ברכה בת אברהם משה בן רפאי סבן יוסף אליאן אליהו בן יוסף יצחק בן שלמון עבדי לרעיון דבורה בן מרים עבדי לרפואה של מה בן מרי משה בן אפרים משה בן יפרם. Okay, we left off at the bottom of Sadi Bet Amud Bet 92b, last line on the page. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Reuven Shemachar Sadeh LeShimon. If Reuven sold a field to Shimon, Shelo Be'achrayut, without any achrayut, without any responsibility, without any guarantee, Ve'atzu Alav Asikin, and then the Me'orerin, let's say the people who are protesting, they came up against Shimon. So Reuven owed, let's say, people money, and now they're coming to Shimon to try to take the field from him. So what happens? So the Gemara says, "Ad shelo yechazik ba," until he took hold of the land, he can still yachol achzor ba. He can still retract on his sale. He can go back. What does that mean? So Rashi says, until he gave the money. So once he gave the money, that's it. But until he gave the money, he can go back, huh? Yeah, he wasn't Moshech, exactly. But once he took hold of it, meaning he paid for it, he can no longer retract on that sale. Because he can say to him, Reuven can say to Shimon, svarat vekibilat. He says, there is a bag of knots that you knew about, you recognized, and you accepted. What does that mean? Meaning, Rashi explains that you knew there was a chance that this would happen, and you still took the chance. So since you took the chance, it's on you. So you took the safek onto yourself. Ume'emat machazikba. When is it considered that one takes hold of the field? So, michi daish amatzre. When the person walks on the borders of the field. Once he starts walking on the borders of the field, that's as if he took hold of the field. Ikad amri, some say, afilu ba'achrayu nami. Even if it was ba'achrayut, even right, we said it was talking about without a guarantee. That's why, he wasn't able to retract. But even if there is a guarantee, the amar le, Reuven can say to him, achavei tirbecha v'ashalem lach. So show me your collection document, the document that you collected with, and I will pay you. Meaning to say, okay, I have people that owe you money. I have people that I owe money to. And I sold you this field, and now they're coming to you and trying to take it from you. So until they actually take that field from you, you can't come to me and say, give me the money back. So you have to show me the document that they collected it from you, and then I'll pay you. But up until that point, I'm not going to pay you. So in the meantime, you have to suffer. You have to suffer the loss until they actually take it from you. Okay, that's what Reuven could say to him. So even if there was achrayut, you could hold it off until they actually came and took the field from Shimon. Okay, new Mishnah. We're on Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph, 93a. Misha ya nasui shalosh nashim. If somebody was married to three women, this is a very special type of man. Vemet, and he died. I wonder. Ktubata shazo mane. If one of their ketubot is 100, v'shazo matayim, and one of them is 200, v'shazo shalosh meot, and one of them is 300. So he has one ketubah for one wife, 100, then 200, then 300. Ve'en sham ele mane, but he only has 100 to his name. So cholkim b'shaveh. Since there's not enough, they each split it equally. Each one would get 33.3, 33.3, and v'chule. Hayusha matayim. If there was 200, shel maneh, the person who is owed 100 gets notelet chamishim, gets 50. Shel matayim v'shel shalosh meot, the people who get 200, who are supposed to get 200 and 300, shelosha, shelosha, shel zahav. They get 3 gold. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, shalosha zahav, shalosha dinare zahav. It's 3 dinars of gold, which is equivalent, each dinar of gold is equivalent to 20 dinare kesef. 25 dinare kesef. So each dinar of gold is equivalent to 25 dinar of silver. So therefore, you get 3, that's 75. So the person who's owed, the women who are owed 200 and 300 in the ketubah, they get 75 each. And the person who's owed 100, he gets 50, because that's what 75 plus 75 plus 50 is 200. Okay? Hayusham shalosh meot. If there was 300 in the pot, 300 on the guy's, the father's estate, shel maneh, the woman who's supposed to get 100, notelet chamishim, she still gets 50. Shel matayim, the person who's supposed to get 200, maneh, she gets 100. Shel shalosh meot, the person who's supposed to get 300, shisha shel zahav, she gets 6 gold dinars, which is 150. Right? So it would be 50, 100, 150, getting you to your 300. V'chen gimel, and also 3 people, shehitilu lekis, if they all put money into a fund. We're going to talk about funds today. Very important halachon in business. Pichetu o hotiru, kacha yucholchin. Right before the Mishnah. If, let's say, it went down, it decreased in value, or it went down, or it went up, for example, it increased in value. So this is the same way they would divide out their monies, based on this process. Right? Rashi says, kacha yucholchin, kol echad ve'echad notel bischar, v'ayev said lefi ma'otav. Each one would take the reward and the percentages, essentially. You put in 50%, you get 50%. You put in 25%, you only get 25%. So when you have somebody who's owed 100, someone who's owed 200, someone who's owed 300, then you only have 300 in the pot, so you're going to give 50, you're going to give 100, and you're going to give 150. It's essentially giving each person half of what they're owed. That's what it means. Right? Okay. Gemara. Shel maneh notelet chamishim. The Gemara asks, what? Person who's owed 100 gets 50? Tiltin v'tilta v'tilta hu de'itla. She's only supposed to get 33 and one third. Meaning 33 and one third should not account to 50. So why is she getting 50?
Meaning it should be equal.
It should be equal. Right. So that meaning the percentages don't work out in that first case. So the Gemara says, Amar Shemuel, Bekotevet ba'alat matayim, le'ba'alat maneh, dinu dvarim ein li'imach b'maneh. Because in this case, what are we talking about? The person, the woman who was owed 200 in her ketubah, said to the woman who's owed 100, I don't have any claim or argument against you with your ketubah, with your what you're receiving. So then she doesn't get a portion of that. And it's split between the first and the third, so therefore the first would get 50, and the third would get the 50 part of that, and then they would split the rest. So that's why over there, the first one would get 50. So the Gemara says, Ihache, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, go to the latter part of the Mishnah. Shel Matayim Shel Shalosh Meot, Shalosh Shel Zahav. We said if the guy only has 200 zuz, he married 3 wives, he owes 100 to one, 200 to another, 300 to another. He only has 200 though. So what does he do? He gives 75 to the 200 and 300, and he gives 50 to the first one. So the Gemara says, Temala, why don't you tell the second one, Ha Salak Navshech Mina, you already removed yourself from this receiving. Meaning, why can't they tell her, hey, you don't get this. You told the first wife, the one who was supposed to receive 100, that you don't want to have any claim or argument with her money. So how can you receive even part of what we're getting? So the Gemara says, Mishum de amrala, because she can say, Midin udvarim hu desligi nafshai. She can say, no. When I was saying that, I was saying, I don't want to have any claim and argument with your ketubah. I was removing myself from any claim and argument, but not necessarily removing myself from receiving a ketubah. So therefore, okay, but she's not saying I'm removing myself from receiving the ketubah, so therefore she can still receive that part of the ketubah. And the way it would be split out was the first one would get 50, the second one would get 75, and the third one would get 75. Okay, hayusham shalosh meot. If there were 300, so we said if there were 300, how do we split it out? 50, 100, 150. So shel matayim maneh. So the Gemara says what? The woman is supposed to get 200, she gets 100. Shivim v'chamisha hu de'idla. She's only supposed to get 75. Why is she receiving 100? So the Gemara says, Amar, meaning, based on here, look at Rashi. Rashi says, here, Ayin hei hu de'idla, Deha kevan de'okimna b'ktubat ba'alan matayim v'chulei, Ein la lachlok me'ata, Ela b'maneh v'chamishim, Aba b'maneh shlishi, Ein la klum. Because we said, we established the case, that the second wife said to the first wife, that I don't want to have any claim and argument in your ketubah, meaning I don't want to receive anything from your maneh. So therefore, she doesn't get to split part of that. So she should only be splitting the 150, from the 300 to 150, and she should only get 75. And that's it. Why is she getting the full 100? So the Gemara says, Amar Shemuel, Bektubat ba'alat shalosh meot, le'ba'alat matayim, u'ba'alat maneh, dinu dvarim ein li'imachim b'maneh. Here in this case, the third wife said to the first and second wife, I don't have anything to do with your maneh, with your 100. So therefore, That's why in this case it's a little bit different, and the second wife would be even able to get that extra 25, meaning extra to get to the 100, she splits the 150, and then she would also get an extra 25 to get to 100. Okay, Rav Yaakov, Minar Pekod, Mishmei de Ravina Amar, he says a little bit differently. Reisha b'shtei tefisot, v'seifa b'shtei tefisot. He said the beginning and the latter part of the Mishnah is talking about two grabbings, two seizures. The Gemara explains. Reisha b'shtei tefisot, what does that mean, two tefisot? Dinaflu shivin v'chamisha. In the first case where we said there was only 200, so we said first 75 fell, okay, bechad zimna. So they split, they first split the first amount that fell, so they got 75 between the three of them, they split that 25 each. And then, umea ve'asir mechamisha bechad zimna. Then they got 125. So 75 and 125 is 200. They got the 75 first, they split the 75. So it's 25, 25, 25. Then they got the 125 after that. So what did they do? They took another 75 and they split it amongst the three of them. 25, 25, 25. Now you're left with 50 each. But the remainder two, the remainder 50 goes to the people who have bigger ketubot. That's how they divide up. So those 50 divided into 25, 25. So you have the first wife gets 50, the second wife gets 75, third wife gets 75. He said that's how it was divided out because of the way it fell. Okay, it was shtei tfisot. Veseifa, in the latter part, b'shtei tfisot, there was two tfisot also, did naflu shivim v'chamisha v'chad zimna. Again, the first case, the first time, what happened? 75 fell. So they split it 25 each. Then, in this case, umatayim v'esim v'chamisha v'chad zimna. Then they got 225. So now what do you do now? So you had 25. You had 75, so you had 25, 25, 25. Now you have 225. So the way they divide it out, the way Rashi explains it, is you take 75 and you divide that by 3. So now you get 25, 25, 25. So now you have 150 left. Each person has 50. Now from the 150 left, you take the 100 and you divide it between the two bigger ketubot. So that 100 divides into 2, so it's 50 and 50. So now you're left with 50, 100, 100. And then the last 50 goes to the person with the biggest ketubah. So that last 50, we go to the last ketubah, so it'd be 50, 100, 150. And that's how we get the numbers from our Mishnah. So essentially, it's percentages, but he's saying it's going based on tefisot, how they fell to them. I think it's a very mechanical way of doing the math. Imagine you have hedge funds today, they would divide up divide it up like this today. Tov. Tanya, we have a braita. Zo Mishnah de Rabbi Natan. This is all the teaching of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Omer, but Rabbi says, "Ein ani ro'ed varav shel Rabbi Natan." I don't agree with him. Be'elu, in these laws, ela cholkot b'shaveh. In all of these cases, I say that they divide equally. If it's something so little, right? And someone is asking me on Yom Kippur actually, and he said, "I don't understand." He was asking essentially when there's falling to the ketubat benin zikrin, that we said that if there's no extra dinar on top of the two ketubot, so they divide it equally. Even if one person is supposed to be 1,000, one person is supposed to receive 500, we divide it 750, 750. He said, why? If if the husband wrote 100, 1,000 and 500, why are you dividing it equally? So I said, the husband, when he was writing that with the mindset that I have a lot more money, they'll receive a split of the rest of my estate. But he didn't think that if I only had this 1,500, that should be the division. So we can assume that if that was the case, that he literally only had this 1,500, that he would have wanted to split it between them so there's no quarreling. And I think the same thing would apply here. When there's only 200 zoos left, or 300 zoos left, we wouldn't split it that they start arguing. We split it evenly, and that's what Rebbe is saying. Okay? Now we get into the funds. V'chen shlosha shehitilu. If three people put money into a fund. So Amar Shemuel, shnaim shehitilu lekis. If two people put money into a fund, zem mane v'zem matayim. One put in 100, one put in 200. Haschar la'emtza. They split the profits. Not like today. Right? I mean, maybe it is like today. We have to understand what it's talking about.
Equally. Yeah.
Right? They split it equally.
Even one for more.
Exactly. Amar Abba, mistabra milte de Shmuel b'shor l'charisha v'omed l'charisha. He says, the words of Shmuel make sense. When they buy, okay, not like the funds we have today, but let's say the fund that they bought was an ox to go and plow with. So one person put in 100, the other person put in 200 to go and buy an ox. If the ox is being used to plow, it makes sense that they should split any profit, because without either of their money, they can't own the ox. And the ox can only be plowing based on both of them putting in the money. Now, it just happens to be one put less, one put more. Doesn't matter though, because both of their money is the ox working, and now any of the profits, the thing that comes as a result, should be split between the two. That makes sense. Aval, but he says, Bishor l'charisha, if you buy an ox for plowing, ve'omed l'tvicha, and then you end up going to slaughter it, and you want to give out the pieces of meat. So Zenotel lefim ma'otav, Zenotel lefim ma'otav. Rabbah says that each person takes its percentage, what it's worth. Because in that case, you bought the animal and you're dividing out the parts of the animal. So you paid 100, you paid 200, you take X amount. I mean, if it's, you take 33%, you take 66.6%.
Why is not the same in the profit?
Because in the case where you're actually taking the animal and dividing it out, you're giving out parts. When you're giving out distribution, you're giving out donation, a distribution part from what you invested in, now you distribute based on what you invested. But if you're putting money into a fund, and the fund is only able to work if there's a certain amount of money. The ox is only able to work when you put a certain amount of money in, so now you need everyone in there. Some person had less, the person who had more, he gave over that extra money to be able to put it into this fund. Understand? Okay. Rav Himnuna, my Rav Himnuna disagrees and says, "Afilu shor lecharisha ve'omed letvicha haschar la'emsa." Even if you buy an ox for plowing and you end up using it for slaughtering, you end up splitting the profits. This is the machloket. So the Gemara says, "Meitivya." We have a contradiction. Shnaim she'itilu lekis. We said if two people put money into a fund, ze mane ve'ze matayim. One puts in 100, one puts in 200. Haschar la'emsa. We said the profits are split evenly. My love, is that not referring to b'shor l'charisha ve'omed l'tvicha? In the case of someone buying an ox but for plowing, but really using it for slaughter, and this would be a contradiction of the Rabban, this would be a contradiction in the opinion of Rabban. The Gemara says, lo, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about b'shor l'charisha ve'omed l'charisha. It's talking about if you buy an ox for plowing, and you use it for plowing. In that case, you would split the profits. Aval, but in a case of shor l'charisha, if you buy an ox for plowing and you end up using it for slaughtering and you're distributing anytime, if anyone knows that you know, you invest in anything, based on what you invest, your percentage of your investment, that's the distribution that you're going to get. So therefore, in that case, exactly. So what's the case over there? Zeno telefim ma'otav, zeno telefim ma'otav. Each person would take their percentage as to what they invested. So the Gemara says, adetani seifa, instead of teaching in the latter part of the Braita, Lakach zebe shelo vezebe shelo venit arvu zeba ze. If let's say each person, he had 100, he had 200. The person who had 200 went and bought a strong oxes. And the one who had 100, he went and bought a weak ox. Instead of saying that each person did that, and then their oxes got mixed up. So then what do we say? Zeno telefima otav, zeno telefima otav. That each person takes their money, takes their percentage of what it's worth. Instead of saying that, why don't you argue about the actual machloket itself? When do we say we divide evenly? When you buy an ox for plowing and you use it for plowing. But if you buy an ox for plowing and you end up dividing out and distributing the parts, you slaughter it. Why don't you argue about that case itself and say that each person would receive their distribution based on their percentage? So the Gemara says, "Hachi nami ka'amar." It was saying that also. It wasn't like degrading, taking away from one other thing. It was saying, "B'med v'ri mamurim." When do we divide equally? B'shor l'charisha ve'omed l'charisha. One is you buy an ox for plowing and you use it for plowing. Aval b'shor l'charisha ve'omed l'tvicha. But if you buy an ox for plowing and you end up using it for slaughtering, what are you doing? You're dividing out the parts. So na'asa kemishel lakach zebe shelo vezebe shelo. It's as if each person bought it with his own money. It's as if we literally bought an animal and just divided it into thirds. You get two thirds, I get one third. And what happens? And venit arvu, and they get mixed up. So zeno telefim ma'otav, zeno telefim ma'otav. Each person would take their percentage as to what they invested. So essentially, it wasn't saying one law. It was saying, this is like the law of a person who bought his animal 100. He bought animals of 200. They got mixed. And we divide it based on what you invested, what you bought. It's the same case as if you buy an animal for plowing and you use it for slaughtering, we would divide it based on how much you invested. Okay? Let's continue. Tanan, we taught in the Mishnah. We said if three people put money into a fund, we said if it goes down or it goes up, they would divide it the same way as we're describing. So the Gemara says, my love, pachatu mamash, hotiru mamash, is it not referring to it going down, it actually going down, and going up, actually going up? And what is this telling us? This would be a contradiction. And still, what do we say? Rashi says, "V'ketani kachen cholkin." We said we still divide it in this way, lefi hamaot, based on how much you put in. So what do you see? V'tiyufta de Shmuel. This is a contradiction in the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel said on the previous amud that what's the law? If two people put money into a fund, one puts 100, one puts 200, we divide it equally. That's not the case over here. We're saying if it goes down or goes up, we divide it. We still divide it based on the amount they put in. It's not equally. So this sounds like a contradiction on Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Bar Avuah, Lo, that's not what it's talking about. Hotiru zuzei chadete. When it said it went up, it's referring to new coins. Meaning, they used to have, I guess, old money, old currency, old money, old coins, and you can, the person who would do business with it, can constantly be doing business with it and be getting new coins, new currency, new money, and you can be buying new things with that money that has more value than the old coins in those days. So therefore, when it's saying going up, it's not actually literally going up. What it's saying is that his old coins, he's getting new coins with them by doing business, by doing masa umatan. In pachatu, when it's saying it's going down, it's not actually going down. What it means to say is astira de tsunita. It means to say that you can use these yada loss. That means that the coins were made invalid by the government, and so therefore their use is only able to be used as a placing a, you know, like a band-aid, using it for like a band-aid on a wound, or like a on the bottom of the foot. That's how the Gemara words it. Astira de tsunita. So meaning, yeah, exactly. So meaning to say that when it's not literally saying going up or going down in value, and so this would not be a contradiction on the opinion of Shimon. Okay, we'll stop there and do 1 minute recap. Okay, we started on Amud Bet. We had a new topic. It was really about business today. A lot of talks about business, but really we first talked about the concept of if a person sells his field without achrayut. So we said it depends, and then me'orarim come and say, okay, this is our field, you have to give it to us, he owed us money. So it depends, did he pay or not? If he was machazikba, if he paid, he can't go back. If he didn't pay yet, he can retract on his sale, he can have a refund. Okay, then we had a Mishnah, and the Mishnah was essentially talking about somebody who's married to three wives, and they all have different ketubot. So depending on how much money he has, if Yavi has all the money in the world, we give them their ketubot, and then we divide the estate into three. But if he doesn't have that much money, he only has 200, then we would give 50, 75, 75. If he only has 300, we give 50, 100, 150. That was the Mishnah. Then, as we got to the Gemara, we on the Amud Bet, really, we had talked about business. We got into the talks about funds. If two people put money into a fund, so we had a machloket. If two people put money into a fund, one puts 100, one puts 200, do we split the profits evenly? So we said it depends. If you're buying an ox for plowing and use it for plowing, yeah, you split it evenly. But if you're buying and using for slaughtering, then each person takes their own distribution. And then Rav Himnuna said, no, even in that case, you would divide it equally. That was the machloket. And part number four, which was the end of the daf, was if somebody buys an ox for plowing and he uses it for slaughtering, so we said that the halakha is that each person would take their equity essentially in their investment. So if he put in 100 and he put in 200 to buy the animal, we thought we'd use it for plowing, we ended up slaughtering it. So when we divide out the parts, you get 1/3, you get 2/3, and that's how we would distribute the parts of the animal. Okay, Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. 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 Amen.